Now I'll read from the Bible. Genesis chapter 19, 1 verses 1 through 38. The recitation will be verses 12 through 14 and 23 through 26. Now I'll read. The two men said to Lot, "Do you have anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place." The outcry of the Lord against its people is so great that he has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place, because the Lord is about to destroy the city." But his sons-in-law thought he was joking. Starting in verse 23. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the lands. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Please allow me to pray. Dear God, thank you for this opportunity to worship you today. When we look back over our lives, we can see there are so many places where we fall short and make mistakes. However, Lord, we know that you can use such people as us and that you have a big plan, and we're so grateful for it. We know that you bestow your grace upon us and love as well, and you do so in abundance. We ask that through this worship service today, Lord, we'll know more about your amazing plan. We'll also learn how you will be using us, and we look forward to learning more about your immense grace. We have great expectations of you, praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning, everyone. In America, now President Trump is the leader, and he's the 47th president of the United States. However, do you remember who was the third U.S. president? Do you know who that was? Probably not. His name was Thomas Jefferson, and he was actually one of the drafters of the Declaration of Independence. He actually was one who loved reading the Bible. However, he disagreed with some of the parts of the Bible. It differed with his values, and so he used knife and scissors to chop out all the parts in the Bible he didn't care for. So what kind of parts did he not agree with? Well, for example, anything about miracles and God's judgment as well, or about hell, about Christ's miracles and Christ's resurrection and Christ's return as well. He cut all of these out of the Bible. You'd wonder what would be left of it. So it was really, really thin, and you would think, oh, you could read through that real easily if it was thin. However, it's actually been referred to as a Jeffersonian Bible, these chopped up versions. It's likely that some people wouldn't actually cut things out of their Bible, but they would just disregard it or just pass over it or ignore it, even perhaps. However, the Bible is God's word from the start to the end. It's composed of 66 books, And it is all from God. It is all God's word. And it has no mistakes in it. Because of that, we can know that the Bible is God's word. And if there are pastors or churches that don't teach all of it, then they are dangerous. For example, in Genesis, some pastors say it's not actual fact. It's just a made-up story. They just think of God as something that the people from the Exodus just came up with in their minds. And some people say these things just on TV without even like thinking. However, we can realize that passages such as that today likely are ones that are not included in such teaching and are taken out possibly from Thomas Jefferson's Bible as well. The reason why is because today we're reading about God's judgment. The Bible talks not just about past history, but also we can see what is upcoming as well. Today we're looking at the story about Sodom and Gomorrah, towns in the Old Testament, and how in just an instant they disappeared due to God's judgment. This is not just some made-up story. It is actually a historical fact. And in recent years, there have been archaeological studies that have actually proven its truth. For example, at Trinity Southwest University, there's a professor by the name of Philip Sylvia. And he has published work in Science magazine entitled Science News. He said that the towns where Sodom and Gomorrah were are actually near the northern part of the Dead Sea. We know about the Dead Sea. It still exists today. And on the west side is Israel. And on the east side is the kingdom of Jordan. And where Sodom and Gomorrah was actually north of where the kingdom of Jordan was at that time. After doing an archaeological dig, according to the researchers, they were able to find out the place called the Middle Goal, which is has a diameter of 25 kilometers, and it's a kind of disc-shaped plain area. It was stated that about 3,600 years ago, due to extremely high heat, it was instantly crystallized. And this has been proven by radiocarbon dating and mineral analysis. So these ruins were actually a place where people lived for about 2,500 years. And this was around the end of the Bronze Age, but all of a sudden the whole place just disappeared. And according to this research group, they said that especially this Middle Goal location was one where in the Bronze Age, a place such as Tal Iman Haman, which is where Sodom and Gomorrah were, was hit by something like a meteorite that exploded low in the sky. In those days, they were able to find pottery pieces that had been melted or dissolved by extremely high temperatures. They were able to find zircon, which is a type of silicate mineral, and this is something that is formed in less than a second and by something similar to the sun's surface temperature. In other words, according to these research results, they were able to find out that there was some type of meteorite that came, and it was extremely high temperature and had a large shock, which killed off everything instantly. Another research team also found from the Elizabeth City State University in North Carolina, specifically PhD Malcolm Lickermite and Sid Mitra, geologist. their team found out recently in September 2021 that and about 3,600 years ago in Tal Hammam city area, there was a diameter of about 165 feet or 50 meters, a meteorite that had exploded in that area, which killed off all the people and livestock instantly. Can you imagine a 50-meter diameter meteorite exploding? In Talamahar, in that area, several thousands of years ago, it was destroyed. And according to many scientists or archaeologists have already found that, knew that, but they didn't know the reason why. They thought, oh, it was just a natural disaster like an earthquake or something, or possibly a volcanic eruption. That's why they thought it just come to a ceasing existence. Or some people said it was due to a war. There was all kinds of theories about why it had disappeared. But according to this recent research results, they found that actually it was the result of an explosion of a meteorite, and due to this high heat and explosive power. In addition, these researchers have found that the meteorite is the cause, and they know that also because they have done research about had the direction of the explosion of this meteorite. They found that going from the southwest is how the direction it must have exploded in order for everything in the ruins to be facing the northeast direction head going down. It would have exploded in the air, and it would have been about 50 meters wide. That energy would have amounted to about 30 megatons. And so that would have been about 330 times that of the Hiroshima explosion. And that's the amount of explosion they would have had. The temperature would have been 2,000 degrees centigrade, so, and it would have happened at an extremely high force. The people wouldn't even know what would have happened. It would have just been instant death. In other words, what it says in the Bible is actually something that is a historical fact. It's been confirmed. What happened on this day is recorded in the Bible in verse 24. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities and also the vegetation in the land. How exactly that happened is something that these researchers have found out. But why is it that it happened? Why they can't find the reason out by digging up the ground. They have to know, they have to look in the Bible, and that's what it explains about here. Let's look once again at verse 1. There was two angels that arrived in Sodom in the evening. And it says that Lot was sitting in the gate of the city. In the old ancient days in that area, there was walls surrounding the cities which would protect it from enemies. Of course, to go in and out of this area, there were several different gates. And a gate was a place where it allowed people to gather of the city. So they'd have important meetings or also forms of judgment held at these gates. Lot, it says here, was sitting at the gate. This shows us that he was actually one of the important people of that city because he was sitting in such a position. Why is it that Lot was actually living in Sodom in the first place? That's something we've already learned about in Genesis chapter 13. Lot was the nephew of Abraham and the son of his brother. And after he died, then Lot was taken in. He went to Ur of Chaldeans from Mesopotamia, and when he was coming out, he was told to take Lot with him. Abraham and Lot were almost like a family, a real like father and son family, and because of this, Lot was able to have a good life. But there was a time when their livestock increased considerably. The people who were in charge of the livestock started to fight with each other, and they realized they couldn't be together any longer, so they decided to split up. Lot looked and saw at Sodom around that area, and saw, before it was destroyed, of course, that it was a wonderful place for livestock. Lot asked Abraham, you know, his uncle, can I go live there? And so that's where he lived. He lived outside of Sodom and put up a tent, but all of a sudden, over time, he was able to live in Sodom and actually became an influential person there. Why is it that Lot was able to gain such a position there? The reason is actually written in chapter 14. What specifically happened is that in those days in Mesopotamia, there was the Chedorlaomer, who was the people ruling at that time, and they took over other people's property and food and then ran off with it. Lot and his family were taken away as well. Abraham, when he found out about this, was extremely troubled and took 318 servants with him to go get it all back. Abraham was fortunately able to retrieve everything. And because of this, Abraham was not looked well upon by the people of Sodom. To have Lot in that area was what happened, though, as a result of this. And this was something that helped. Unfortunately, it just destroyed their family relationship. Sodom just became a terrible place. And Lot and his family were impacted by the misconduct and immorality that was going on there. If you're looking at verses 4 and 5, the two angels come to Lot's house, and they go there. And the people of the city came up and said, "Where are the men who came out to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them." So these were two angels, actually. So they didn't have sexuality as being men or female, male. However, they must have looked to be male because the people said, "Where are the men who came out to your night?" And they're like, "We want to know them." Well, this word in the original form of knowing isn't just mean to get to know someone. It means to have sexual relations with someone. In Old Testament, this is mentioned, and specifically in Genesis several times. For example, it says Abraham knew his wife and then had children. And so that you can understand what this means is not just knowing somebody in a common sense. These people were after these angels and asked these men, "We want to know them," they said. At that time, Lot responded in verse 8. And he said, "I have two daughters who have never slept with a man." So these are his unmarried daughters he's talking about. He says, "Let me bring them out to you, and you can do whatever you want with them. But don't do anything to these men, for they have come under the protection of my roof." This is crazy if you think about it. These men of Sodom are trying to do something completely immoral. And what Lot says in response is just as sickening. He's like, "I'm not going to give you my guests, but you can have my daughters and do whatever you want to them." You can see just how immoral and full of misconduct this whole city was. Lot was totally impacted by this, and his family as well. And you can see that at the end of chapter 19, actually Lot and his two wives and daughter wife were helped. And it explains more about that. The two daughters run off to the mountain, and they're convinced that there's no other guys around, and they wanted to have children and to have so that they would have descendants. And so they come up with this plan. They talk to each other, and they're like, "Oh, well, we can have children by our father." And they get their father Lot drunk, and then the older and younger daughter both become pregnant through him. The older daughter has a child named Moab, and the name Moab means "by my father." And this is the start of the Moabite people. And then from the younger daughter was Ben-Ammi, which means "the child of my flesh and blood." And Ben-Ammi became the start of the Ammonite people. And the Moabite and the Ammonite people were always causing trouble for Israelites thereafter. This is a huge scandalous incident. Someone's to have children by one's own father is something you would just think would be like in a weekly magazine journalist spread on the internet in today's day. However, this was immoral. Even though this was immoral, his daughters couldn't see it in that light because of the way they had grown up. The people of Sodom were trying to get at these angels, going back to the passage here, man, that God blinded them, and then Lot was helped by, and the angels said to him in verse 12, "Is there anyone else here? Sons-in-law, sons or daughters, or anyone else in the city who belongs to you? Get them out of here, because we are going to destroy this place." For Lot, he had four daughters. Two were not married yet, and two already were. So, of course, he had sons-in-law, and he had two sons as well. And because the city was about to be destroyed, the angels were asking him, "Do you have any more family members? If so, get them out of here." So Lot in verse 14 says that he spoke to his sons-in-law who were pledged to marry his daughters. He said, "Hurry and get out of this place because the Lord is about to destroy the city." The angels told him that God's judgment was about to take place. Lot quickly told his sons-in-law. He told them, "It's about to be destroyed. You need to get out of here." However, his sons-in-law, it says, thought that he was just joking. If you're not responding to God's warnings and you just think it's a bad joke, that's a serious problem. These sons-in-law were just like telling their father-in-law to stop telling bad jokes. They just thought that God was joking, but he was actually professing judgment on them. It was an urgent and imminent message, but they just blew it off as being a joke. That's just how closed their hearts were to the word of God. As for Lot himself, he actually wasn't in a hurry to get any out of there. Everyone else was. Because of this, the angels forcefully made them leave. These two angels grabbed their hands. Of course, they would have had four hands each, so they were able to grab, because there's two of them, they had four. They would have grabbed Lot's hand and Lot's wife's hand. And then would have grabbed their daughter's hands and forcefully made them leave. Verse 16 says, when he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of the wife and his daughters and led them out of the safe city, for the Lord was merciful to them. They were forcefully taken out, but that was actually a form of God's mercy to them. And that was in line with the covenant God had with Abraham. When Abraham had bartered, in a sense, with God to narrow down the judgment, this is how God was, he was able to follow through with it. And in this way, Lot was saved. In verse 29, it says, he remembered Abraham, God remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that was about to happen. In verse 17, it says, as soon as they had been brought out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back and don't stop anywhere in the plain. When you're told to just run for your life, what would you do? You would run as fast as you could, right? You would just run as if you were going to die. You wouldn't have time to look back. However, if you look at verse 26, it says, Lot's wife looked back and she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife was also grabbed by the hand of an angel and was running away. However, her body was outside of Sodom, but her heart was still in Sodom. It's likely that her treasures were still there, and she couldn't bear to let them go. She wanted to go back and get back her beautiful rings or necklaces, perhaps, or her brand name bag and brand name shoes and whatever. But Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Her body had run away, but her heart was still there. And that is why when the city went down, she looked back and she too was destroyed. Lot were able to escape. And then, as soon as they got out, in verse 24, it says, the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah. In this way, Lot lost everything that he had acquired so far in life. Where is it that Lot made the mistake? It was there. It was when he left Abraham. When he decided to go away from Abraham, then he lost the blessing that was in the Abrahamic covenant with him, for him. Those who are blessed by God are blessed unless they go away from where his blessing is. And this is basically the end of Lot. So this historical fact is something that is actually referred to in the New Testament as well. For example, Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, refers to this, and it's still recorded in 2 Peter 2:6. He condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly. In other words, Peter was referring to Sodom and Gomorrah and the judgment that was given there, and how is that as an example of those who do not believe in God and do not follow God? He tells us, or he's telling people at that time and us today, to learn from it. Jesus himself also gives a warning referring to Sodom and Gomorrah. Because of that, we can see how it is truly a historical fact. In Luke chapter 17, verses 28-33, it says, and these are the words of Jesus here, it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking. Here it's just referring to how the same thing's going to happen. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. And what this is referring to is the second coming of Christ. So it says, like, is to remember Lot's wife, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life will preserve it. Jesus came to us, and that was the first Christmas when God came in the form of a human. After 33 years of life, he took all of our sins upon himself on the cross and died. After the third day, he was resurrected. And the resurrected Christ spent a period of 40 days here on earth with his disciples. After that, he went back to heaven. He is going to come again. And this is referred to as his second coming. Christmas is the first coming, and his return is the second coming. And that's the end of the world. Prior to that, though, there is something that is very serious that will happen. And that, is the rapture. In Thessalonians, Paul speaks of this. He says that one day, suddenly, there's going to be Christians who have already passed away, who are going to be resurrected, be given a new body, and go up to heaven. Following that, the next instant, all of the still living Christians on earth will have their bodies changed into eternal form and go up to heaven as well. Right after that, there's going to be the start of the Great Tribulation, which is a period of 7 years of God's judgment, and the Antichrist is going to reign. That time is going to end with Jesus' second coming. Jesus is going to rule and reign over this earth directly for a period of 1,000 years, and this is referred to as the Millennial Kingdom. After this, then, Jesus will have the perfect profess the final judgment, and the old world will go away, and the new heaven and new earth will come. And this is what God's master plan is. When you think about it and talk about it, you may think, whoa, this is really, like, is this really going to happen? This is like a joke. And right now, there are people who truly think that God's word is a joke. There are people like those in Sodom and Gomorrah. There are people like Lot. Hopefully you aren't. Hopefully you will seriously consider God's word and receive Jesus' salvation. Then you don't have to fear God's judgment. There's no reason you would. If there are some of you here today who have not been saved, today is the day of the salvation. Please, don't think of God's word as a bad joke. Know that everything that he said in the Bible has come to pass, and everything that hasn't happened is going to come to pass. The rapture is something that could happen anytime. It could happen tonight. It could happen tomorrow. It just could happen at any time. The people of Sodom and Gomorrah heard what was going to happen, but they just thought it was a joke, and they weren't interested in listening. I encourage you not to have such a foolish approach to this. As people given the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, I encourage you to have peace and contentment. Now we'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we've learned about God's judgment. Peter, too, has also referred to this, and Jesus as well. They refer to Sodom and Gomorrah and what happened there as an example of God's destruction due to the judgment he's going to profess. In light of this, we are to come before God and repent. And we can hear God's message of love and grace in this. We don't know why, but he has already allowed us to be saved and become part of his family. We're very grateful for that. If there's anyone who has not saved, God asked them to come forth to respond to his message. Allow us to be able to reach such people and to strengthen us in our faith as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, well, let's pray for a moment. Pray together in a moment of silence. Please let me pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this coming week and forevermore. Amen. We have some announcements and we'll close for today.